1290 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Inez de la Quatera. Coastal areas in Florida's northern west coast evacuated. More than 5,000 National Guard members in place. And this morning, the state bracing for a major hurricane. Idalia strengthening overnight to a Category 4 before weakening ever so slightly to a Category 3 storm, expected to make landfall in the next couple of hours. In Tampa, Grace Cruz says she's been
putting away all my patio furniture, bringing in anything out there that's loose and can fly away, getting the sandbags.
Laura Wilcoxon, an emergency management official in Pasco County, says they had a couple of hundred people in shelters following mandatory evacuations. The warning:
the force of water can also shift homes completely off their foundation across the street. The power of water is really, really strong.
The National Weather Service just issuing an extreme wind watch for parts of Florida's Big Bend. This is ABC News. Walmart may be looking to cut costs by cutting back on pharmacists across the country. Reuters says the company is asking some of its pharmacists to take pay cuts by reducing their hours. Walmart also reportedly looking to hire new pharmacists at lower salaries. The son of the South Carolina lawyer convicted of double murder now speaking out. ABC's Lionel Moise has the story.
Buster Murdoch is breaking his silence nearly 6 months after his father was convicted of murdering his mother, Maggie, and his brother, Paul.
Did you ever go there and say, maybe it's possible that he did this?
No, because I think that I hold a very unique perspective that nobody else in that courtroom ever held, and I know the love that I have witnessed.
The 29-year-old speaking with Fox News for a docuseries streaming on Fox Nation Thursday.
And Burger King facing a class action lawsuit over the Whopper. Customers claiming the burger shown on the menu boards looks a whole lot bigger than the one they actually get. Inez de la Quatera, ABC News.
So you need a new roof, but you don't know where to start? You're thinking, a roof is just a roof, right? Wrong. I'm Shannon Alberts, president of Security Libthew Roofing, and I want to tell you what makes us different from all the other roofers. We are Wisconsin's oldest roofing company, having been in business since 1934. We aren't like other roofing companies who are here today, gone tomorrow. We stand behind our work. The products we use are of the highest quality. We are one of Owens Corning's elite platinum preferred contractors and have maintained that status for over 14 years. We even offer a 50-year non-prorated, fully transferable warranty. But what makes us really stand out is the quality of our workmanship. We hire only the best in their craft, and we hire around our core values. We are hardworking, we care for people, we do what's right, and we're flexible. So if you value your home and expect quality, give us a call at 920-ROOFING or go to 920roofing.com.
Green Bay and City Deck Landing residents. Anchor Coffee is introducing their sizzling hot sandwiches and mouthwatering options like ham and Swiss, turkey and Swiss, egg and cheese, sausage egg and cheese, and the irresistible ham egg and cheese. All for just $6 each. For something sweet, try the amazing donut kebabs for only $3. Or go for the fresh donut cups at just $3.50. And for those last minute gatherings, grab 10 pounds of bagged ice for just $3.99. Hungry yet? Anchor Coffee and City Deck. 401 North Washington Street, Suite 109.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. We're in the Civic Media Truth Booth at the Brown County Fair. We asked, and here's what you are telling us about living in the Green Bay area, attending the fair, and more.
Novalee Phelps. I work at the Fair Sheridan Amusements. I work with the kiddie rides. I set up, tear down, wash them, and run them, make little kids happy. I run the raceway. I set it up, tear it down. I help with other kiddie rides. I love to put a smile on kids' faces.
Thanks for sharing your story. Listen for more on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW 97.9 FM, 1590 AM, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS 1100 AM, 98.3 FM, and the Civic Media app. And our website, civicmedia.us, and search for Truth Booth. And watch for the Civic Media Truth Booth coming to your town soon.
Most of us are not just red or blue. We're kind of purple. We want to do what's right while protecting our individual freedoms.
Join the Rational Revolution with hosts Chris Alfheim and Emily Sefos Thursday evenings from 7 to 8 on WGBW, WISS, and the Civic Media app.
Coming to the greater Green Bay area live from the WGBW studios at the City Deck Landing and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Thank you very much. Welcome back. We have a very, very special guest joining us right now, ladies and gentlemen.
And we do. You know, those of you who have been regular listening, John drops a lot of names. And oh, I'm going to get so-and-so on, so-and-so on. I'm going to get Randy right on. I'm like, yeah, sure you are. He's here.
He's here. Randall.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Excellent. How are you?
I'm doing fabulous. Thanks.
Thanks for joining us. You know, the big topic, of course, this time of year is always, you know, the Packers quarterback situation, whatever, whatever. Although we haven't really had to talk about that for a lot of years. But Randy, I just think that Jordan Love, if anybody can relate somewhat as to what's going through his mind these days heading into the regular season, that would be you after you took over for number 12, Lynn Dickey, and you were that guy. What can you relate with what he's going through?
You know, I give him a lot of credit. I think he's handled the situation just fabulously. And you're right. There are some similarities, some that aren't so similar, but there are a lot of similarities. You're taking over for a guy in my situation. Lynn had played, I think, 12, 13 years for Green Bay, had tremendous success, and just was a great mentor for me and made that transition very, very easy. And I have forever been grateful, and Lynn and I have stayed friends and stayed in touch. Jordan has handled the situation just fabulously with sitting on the bench for a few years, coming in as a number one draft pick, but yet sitting behind a guy that's won a couple of MVPs while he's been on the bench. And not unlike the way Aaron Rodgers handled the situation when he came in behind Favre. So I think the little bit of a difference, though, is Jordan may be facing a little bit more of a rebuilding scenario than what Rodgers did when he took over for Favre. And I don't know that he'll have quite the weapons around him that Aaron did when Aaron took over. So I think that'll be a little bit more of a challenge, but it's exciting to see him play, and I think he's been playing great.
Yeah, he sure has. And Randy, you know, when we as fans, you know, I think people are like, well, are the fans going to accept him? But you know, there's a lot of talk about the locker room. And, you know, those of us who are fans aren't privy to what goes on there. And how important is that? I mean, that's your team, and the quarterback is the leader. And do you think the locker room has accepted Jordan Love like they and how was that with you with Lynn coming in for Lynn Dickey? How important is the locker room when it comes to this new role?
Especially being the quarterback.
Well, right, that's what I'm saying. They're the leader.
Yeah, I think the locker room is tremendously important. And I think of all the professional sports, I probably think that football is the most team-oriented. I mean, you have to rely on your teammates to do well, more so than baseball, more so than basketball, certainly more so than golf, even hockey. So with that being said, the quarterback, seeing as there's only one on the field where there's multiple running backs, receivers, linemen, the quarterback has got to be respected in the locker room. My situation was a little bit different. I wasn't a first-round draft pick. I mean, I was a sixth-round pick who had been a backup, and we went through a major rebuilding where Force Gregg had released many of our experienced veterans. So we were a very young team, and there was a lot of searching going on. Jordan, I think, has still got a very young team that he's taken over, but he's been a part of it for 3 years. He was kind of the anointed leader when the Packers decided to trade up for him and take him in the first round. So that being said, I think he has that advantage of being able to come in. People expect him to be the leader. He's shown that the last 3 years. They're all saying the right things about what he is and what he does and what he provides. So that's a very good sign. And I think his mannerisms, his character, I think all that started to come through. And like I said earlier, I think you got to like what you see.
We're with former Packer quarterback Randy Wright.
Randy, it's the coaches really seem to be high on this Jordan Love guy. And I am, because John Minel said I had to be, but he really seems like he's got it going for him. The coaching, when you were there, were they behind you as much as you feel they are behind Jordan Love?
Well, I think, well, that's a tough question to answer, because you never know without really being on the inside. I think they have to be behind him because of what they have invested in him.
Right.
Not only financially, but when you trade up in the first round and you take a guy and you create some uneasiness and some unsettlement with an all-pro, a guy that went on to win two-time MVP, after you do that, there's a lot of pressure on the coaching staff and the administration that Jordan Love works out. And if Rodgers goes on and has a fabulous year or two in New York and Green Bay doesn't, it's just going to intensify that pressure even more. But I think they believe in him, or they wouldn't have made the decision they did with Rodgers when they did and let him go somewhere else.
Yeah. Hey, Randy, move on. Well, I'm sorry, Randy, when you came in, and obviously Lynn was at the, he never played again anywhere, and he was at the end of the rope. I mean, just physically, you know, he had had enough. But
right.
He had so many of those old guard teammates, you know, from back in the day. Did you have to win them over, or did they accept you? And obviously, I was real close to the situation, and I'm not going to name names, but I thought there were some guys that could have treated you and said better things. How did you feel taken over in that way? And am I reading that right?
Yeah, I think you're pretty accurate with that. There were some of the older school guys that had just, I mean, they had been with Lynn for a long time, and they'd been with Green Bay for a long time, and I don't think it was something where they treated me poorly by any means. I think it was just how you treated rookies at that time, how you treated young kids at that time. And that was much more prevalent back at that stage, at that time, that era, than maybe it is today. And I think there were things that they played their best. They did what they could. And I think you just have to earn that over. And I think there were some that were maybe a little bit harder to win over than others.
Yeah. So Randy, you still follow football very closely, right? You come up for the games?
I come up to probably one a year, maybe two every 3 years. But I'm a fan. I watch them. I follow them. I don't follow huge. I'm not a huge follower of the NFL other than Green Bay, but I pay attention to it.
Right.
I'm not involved, but yeah, I'm still more of a fan than anything. But
and I should say you have a good head on your shoulders. I mean, you're a good dad, family man, community man. Any jealousy with, like, you look at that.
The money?
I really don't even want to say the money. I guess money, we can talk about that, but the facilities. I mean, is that unbelievable?
You know, it's where the league has gone and where things have changed. But Jim, I'll tell you, if you got 30 seconds, I'll tell you a story. I promised myself when I found out this fact, I would never be envious or jealous of the money that's going on. Terry Bradshaw won 4 Super Bowls. Everybody knows who he is. Tremendously successful. He played up until 1983. My rookie year was 1984. So we never played against each other or in the same year, but we butted up next to each other. He never made in his highest paid year what I made in my lowest paid year.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
And once I found that fact out, I made a promise to God, promise to myself, I will never be envious of what future payment is, because every era has that same kind of feeling.
People have no idea how little pro athletes made at one time.
Oh, and you know, obviously dollars worth different now as it was back then, but you're right. Even I came out in the prime of the USFL when they were kicking off in 82 and 83 and 84. So I had the boost of that, which is probably why my salary was what it was at that time. But you're right. It was not the play 1 year and you can retire a millionaire.
Right. Right. How about the facilities? I've seen some other facilities of NFL teams, and I just think what the Packers have done is it's incredible. And I think that's a huge recruiting tool because the money it's important, but
yeah, there's other things.
Yeah, and
no question.
I think Green Bay, I mean, I'd like your comments. You played for the Packers. What do you think of the facilities? Do you think they overdid it, or do you think it's the right thing to do?
Oh, I don't think they overdid it. I don't know that I guess it's possible to overdo it, but with the money that they're generating for the team and for the city and for the community, and Green Bay has such pride in the Packers, and they show it, that I don't know that they could overdo the facilities. I think in this age of free agency and need to do that, and you're even seeing that trickle down to the colleges. I mean, some of these facilities that these colleges have with their stadiums and things that they're doing to recruit. In the era of this NIL and all that stuff that's going on, I think the free agency, the recruiting, money is money no matter where you are. The cost of living in Green Bay is cheaper than the cost of living in Chicago or Los Angeles, so you maybe get more out of it, or you go to Florida and there's no state income tax. But I think to be able to take care of your players and be able to provide something like that for the community, I think is just fabulous.
Yeah, Randy, I just want to go ahead.
I was just going to say, Green Bay has always done a fabulous job of taking care of their alumni and their former players, and that's something I'm very grateful for, and I think the whole community appreciates what they've done with their facilities and the whole atmosphere.
And we love seeing you guys back here for that Green and Gold Gala, and that's, of course, it goes to Family Services, which is so needed in this community. You know, you talked, Randy, you just made the comment of a trickle-down to college. There's a little trickling down to high schools in this neck of the woods.
Yeah. Yeah, $150 million just put into Neenah High School. You should see their football field, Randy.
So, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And, you know, as a community leader, I just want to make sure I don't mind to focus on athletics, but I sure want to keep it on academics. And we're doing a pretty good balance here in Green Bay. But, yeah, it's big business, and it's going to continue to be. And
but, you know, it's funny. You're talking about the big business and the big money and everything like that. Just other and we were talking with, Chris Jackie. Couple of weeks ago, when I said, you know, you guys, you know, you'd always get together, you'd be in the bars, you'd be at whatever, and he's like, oh, you used to hang out there too with those guys, and I said, you don't see that anymore. He says, social media has changed it so much, you can't believe it. It's a little bit of a different fish bowl of a world out there, though, isn't it, Randy, versus your day?
Oh, my goodness. You know, I am so grateful that I never had to play in the era of social media and everything that's going on, and Twitter and pictures and iPhones and all that stuff. And I was never one that went out and hung out and did that kind of stuff. I was married and a homebody and loved the lifestyle in Green Bay and was one of the few Packers that lived there year round at the time.
Heinisra Lane.
Yeah. There
you
go.
We
love that aspect of it, but yeah, social media and everything that goes on, and pictures and what comes back to haunt you 5 years later, 10 years later, I'm sure it's changed drastically. And these guys are 23, 25, 27. And think how it affects those high school kids that are 16, 17, and they have to deal with it.
Yeah. Man, we loved you too.
We got to send a quick break, Randy. Can you stick with us for another segment?
Absolutely.
Appreciate it. Randy Wright, former Packer quarterback, joining us. Mind the Mayor. We'll be back right after this.
My name is Leah, and I'm a single mom living in Milton, Wisconsin. I have two kids with severe peanut allergies and asthma. Before Badger Care, I struggled with affording the copays for their life-saving medications. Even with the best insurance available through my full-time job, the EpiPens had a $100 copay, and we needed them for school and home for each of my kids. There was even a point when my daughter had a severe allergic reaction, and I strongly considered not calling 911 due to the cost of the ambulance. I'm grateful that the administrations of President Joe Biden and Governor Tony Evers are working together to give us the tools to improve our health care. Now I no longer have to choose between putting food on the table and providing affordable, life-saving health care for my children. To learn more about how the Inflation Reduction Act and other investments are helping rural communities and families like mine, visit www.abetterwisconsininstitute.org/rural.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Clear skies today with highs around 69. Winds out of the north, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Clear skies and quiet tonight. Lows dip down to about 48. Ample sunshine expected again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 75. Turning warmer Friday and Saturday with highs from the low 80s to the upper 80s. Another look at the short range. We should top out around 69 today. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 48.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Mayo and the Mayor here on WGBW 97.9 FM 1590 AM. We were talking with former Packer quarterback Randy Wright. And Randy, last time I got together with you down in Arizona this past spring, which was so much fun. But you talked about a great day, a great game day, at a Packer game with Don Majkowski. And I found that fascinating, the great discussion you guys had. Can you relate to some of that?
You know, absolutely. Don and I were never, you know, friends or close friends at all when we played. He was a competitor of mine. He wound up taking over for me and earned the position when he beat me out in 89 and went on and had a fabulous year that year. We were never really close. And like I said, the competition rules the roost at that time. And I was let go by the Packers 89. He went on, had a great year, and had seen Don here or there at a couple of different Packer alumni functions, golf outings, charity, things like that. But the Packers have a box, an alumni box at their games, and they allow players to come back and sit up in the box. And my wife and I went to a game this year, or last year, and went to the box, and Don was in there, along with a few other teammates that I had played with, as well as guys that had played after me that I did not know very well. But Don and I sat next to each other by choice, and we talked for 2.5 hours. And it was one of the most sincere, heartfelt, down-to-earth, truly genuine conversations I had ever had with him, and that I had ever probably had myself. So it wasn't just him or me. It was really good to reconnect. And, you know, I walked away from there, and I said to myself, as I reiterate what I said to Don when he basically made a comment on that, and I said, you know, I'm not the person that I want to be yet, but I'm not the person I was back then either. And he reiterated the same thing, and it was truly probably the most enjoyable part of the day, more than the game, more than being in the box, more than the food in the box. It was sitting down and talking to him about the success his son has had playing baseball and how he has struggled after football with giving up the game and some of the successes that we both had. So it was, I wish I had been mature enough to have had that conversation, that relationship with him when we were teammates playing for 3 years rather than, you know, 35 years later.
Good point. There's something to be said for the 35 years. I mean, I think that's great that football to you and Don and many people is it's more than the game, right? It's that, I don't use the word spiritual connection, but I think that's great that you could really relate to each other and really help each other walking out of that game saying, look, you know, I'm not where I want to be yet, but I'm not alone.
But sometimes you know? You need that little bit of distance.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think for that perspective.
And it's tough to be as mature as you are today when you're 22 years old.
Yeah, absolutely.
It just is.
That's a good point. You have your priorities out of whack. You're so competitive. You're thinking you're one day away from getting cut. This guy's going to take my job. And my stint in Green Bay, I was there for 5 years, and there were 17 different quarterbacks came and left. And John, you and I have talked about this throughout the years. There were 17 different guys that came and left during my career there. So you get so focused on wanting to play and make the team. And, you know, I was a sixth-round draft pick. I was not somebody that was going to be an automatic. I wasn't going to be a guarantee to make the team to play, even for sure to start. So I was proud of the success I had and the ability to stay there. But, yeah, you wish you had the maturity that you have at 40, 50, 60 when you were 25.
Yeah, it's not just football, believe me. It crosses all careers. We all wish we had it back then. Hey, I can I just shift gears here, Johnny, unless you want to talk a little bit more about that. But I'm curious as to what you're doing now. I mean, you obviously got a good head on your shoulders. I know you're a great marriage and family. What's the life of Randy Wright today?
You know, good point. I've been married to the same woman for 38 years.
God bless you. That's awesome.
Two children that are both in their 30s. When I got out of football, I started a business down in the Madison area, and it grew and grew and grew to a big business, bigger than we could handle, and started broadcasting and did Badger Radio for 3 years, right, and then broadcast with ESPN for 12 years with Wayne Larver. He was my partner on ESPN for 12 years. Fabulous guy.
Yeah, he's great.
Dear, dear friend of mine still to this day. We sold that business in 2010 and then started another one, which was smaller, transportation trucking company that we run out of the Madison area. And my son now runs that business. So I'm fairly involved, but maybe 15-20% involved. He now runs the rest of it and does everything, but it's smaller and easier to handle. And my wife and I split time between Wisconsin, where we are 5 months a year, and we're out in Arizona the other 7 months. And we've enjoyed the path, enjoyed where we are right now, and looking forward to being able to enjoy our days together with whatever we have left.
That's awesome.
Back to football. One quick second. I have 2 minutes left, Randy. If you had to line up all the Packer players you ever played with in your day, and you were starting up a football team and they were in their prime, who'd be the first guy you would take?
James Lofton.
Oh.
No question. No question. And I played with Al Toon, a fabulous friend and a great receiver. But people ask me who the best receiver I ever played with, as good as Al was, and as much as he's a dear friend, there's no question James Lofton would be the best.
Wow, that was quick. You must really value that. That's
physically, he was a marvel, though, wasn't he, Randy?
He was a freak physically.
He was a freak.
I mean, just the things that he could do, he just was something I've never seen as a teammate or on the field, and be able to have him on the field was fabulous for me.
Who'd be your second pick?
That's a good question.
While you think about that, Randy.
Pick,
okay, I just want to ask you, we've had coaches on here. We talk about coaches being X's and O's people as well as.
We're running out of time. Okay, give me your second pick, Randy.
All right, sorry.
Ken Rutgers.
Okay. Favorite coach of all time?
Bill Dudley, my offensive coordinator at the University of Wisconsin.
Awesome. Oh, wow, good call.
And why is that?
He just, when I transferred in from Notre Dame, he was very welcoming. He was the coach that had recruited me, and I trusted him and felt secure. A very, very close second, though, was my high school football coach in Acton, Massachusetts, my sophomore year.
Awesome. Randy,
I moved in.
You are the best. Thank you for sharing your time with us today. And, yeah, good luck. You're a great example of how to live life. And we appreciate all you did for Green Bay and what you're doing today.
You're the best, Randall.
Guys, thanks for having me on. Have a great rest of your day.
You bet. Thank you so much. Randy Wright joining us. Minor and the Mayor, back right after this.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning. And the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Inez de la Quatera. Coastal areas in Florida's northern west coast evacuated. More than 5,000 National Guard members in place. And this morning, the state bracing for a major hurricane. Idalia strengthening overnight to a Category 4 before weakening ever so slightly to a Category 3 storm, expected to make landfall in the next couple of hours. In Tampa, Grace Cruz says she's been
putting away all my patio furniture, bringing in anything out there that's loose and can fly away, getting the sandbags.
Laura Wilcoxon, an emergency management official in Pasco County, says they had a couple of hundred people in shelters following mandatory evacuations. The warning:
the force of water can also shift homes completely off their foundation across the street. The power of water is really, really strong.
The National Weather Service just issuing an extreme wind watch for parts of Florida's Big Bend. This is ABC News.
Did you know the best way to fix a roof leak is to prevent it from leaking in the first place? Hi, I'm Shannon Alberts, president of Security Libke Roofing. I'm excited to announce our newly trademarked Red Shield maintenance plan. You see, we don't want to just replace your commercial roof. We actually want to help extend the life of it first. We understand the roof on a commercial property is a massive investment, and we want to help you protect it. To learn more about Security Libke Roofing's Red Shield maintenance plan, go to 920roofing.com or call 920roofing today.
People you know, call 920roofing.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west-northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. We're in the Civic Media Truth Booth at the Brown County Fair. We asked, and here's what you are telling us about living in the Green Bay area, attending the fair, and more.
Novalee Phelps. I work at the fair Sheridan Amusements. I work with the kiddie rides. I set up, tear down, wash them, and run them, make little kids happy. I run the raceway. I set it up, tear it down. I help with other kiddie rides. I love to put a smile on kids' faces.
Thanks for sharing your story. Listen for more on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW 97.9 FM, 1590 AM, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS 1100 AM, 98.3 FM, and the Civic Media app. And our website, civicmedia.us, and search for Truth Booth. And watch for the Civic Media Truth Booth coming to your town soon.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Lord, I was born a rambling man, trying to make a living.
Welcome back! Mino and the Mayor here at 97.9 FM, 1590 AM, WGBW, and also coming your way from WISS in Oshkosh. Very special thanks to Dennis Lee Roth,
right,
who is joining us from the Glam Band. And you know what? We've been talking a lot about them over the last few weeks, whatever, but they deserve it. Watching that show in Manitowoc the other night was just fantastic.
They do a lot. They have good energy with the crowd, and for them to engage the youth, and I know they brought your cousin up on stage, 13, 14-year-old, to drum, but he does that in other concerts, too, and I don't know if he realizes what a great thing he's doing.
No question.
For kids, yep. Because kids need... You know, look, you grow up in a household that has a lot of opportunities, but they don't have every opportunity. So
no, that made his summer, I'll tell you that.
Right.
You know who wants me to always perform with them, though? True story.
I have no idea.
Big Mouth.
I don't believe
it. It's true.
I had those guys at my kid's wedding. They're very professional. What do they want?
They wanted me to sing with them. They want me to sing Sinatra. They want me to sing Fly Me to the Moon.
There's a lot of alcohol to come to that conclusion, no, but I don't know. I wasn't there. I don't want to say anything.
You want to make a bet on this?
I know Big Mouth.
Would you like to make a bet?
I don't want to bet.
We'll make a bet. $100 bet.
No, I don't want. I think I'm into you for a couple hundred bucks.
You are. So, it's for a couple hundred because
of mosquitoes. Yeah. But you didn't even name the type of mosquito, so I don't think that. I think that's a $50 bet.
Oh, I think
but
a anyway. Generic term mosquito is good enough.
So,
for the answer.
Yeah, it was on who. What animal kills the most?
Most people. What's the most deadly animal on the face of the earth? That kills more people.
I'm guessing a mosquito.
You're correct.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. How generic is that? Like it's kind of like saying, well, what kills most people in drowning? Water.
Nope.
Mosquito.
Not, no,
it's a certain type of mosquito.
No.
Anyway, I don't want to get to that. Hey, we got to try. We're moving on. But yes, the glam band is great. They're playing. Get on the website. Look at their schedule. A lot of fun. You'll show up. Great memories back to the 80s and a great group of people. But
I'm going to get somebody on this show that's going to prove to you that the Big Mouth constantly wants me to sing with them. Go ahead.
Okay, you're like the guy that was taking the tour at Lambeau Field.
Yeah.
Stood in the middle and said, ask me to sing the national anthem. Vegas, sing the national anthem. And now he goes around and tells everybody he was asked to sing the national anthem
who's
at Lambeau Field.
Who's this
guy? Pretty like you. Just no, making
like
it up
me.
As they go along.
No,
so, okay. Hey, we talk about a lot of things on this show, and one of the things we talk about is people who go the extra mile in our community, and we recognize some people, talked about some people, and we have a guest with us today who's in here from Philadelphia, a friend of mine, who purchased the Northland Hotel in Green Bay, and as those of you who follow that, I don't know, what would I call it, a saga, that was a long process. But we needed someone with $32 million for one, and it had gone bankrupt a couple times and was low-income housing that was transitioned. And so Bill Cole and two of his partners stepped up and made the investment.
And with that all being said, like Jim and I went in there about a month ago, 3 weeks ago,
yeah.
And I told him, I said, the last time I'd really been in there that it was up and running when I was 16 years old, and here the night before a Packer game, and went there and stood and waited for the Washington Redskins, I think it was. And it, to me, was like so majestic back in the, you know, 70s. Yeah. And now it's been restored to that. It's pretty
cool. I'd like to ask where you've been for the last 4 years.
I know, right?
That's true. But so the Marriott, of course, has different brands of hotels. You know, they've got the Residence. They've got the Marquis. Their highest end is the Autograph Collection. And that's a very high-end, kind of boutique-ish, just unbelievable service, four diamond hotel. And that is what Bill and his two partners converted the Northland Hotel into. So Northland Milwaukee, I mean, without question, that's the nicest hotel. Milwaukee has some great hotels. So Bill, you're in town, and I'm glad you called me. And after you called and said, look, you want to have lunch? I'm like, well, you want to come on my radio show or our radio show. So here you are. How are things going? Hospitality's been tough. COVID's been a little tough. You got a lot of money in that place. The customers who go there, I know they love it because I see them, and I am a frequent guest, unlike John. How are things going?
Things are well. You know, we've come through a period that I've termed the post-COVID malaise. As you know, we came out of COVID, there was a pent-up demand for leisure business. So weekends with Packer games and things like that. Excuse me, business was good, but corporate travel did not come back, largely because, you know, companies didn't have the money to spend for travel. People aren't in the office. That's ended now. We're starting to see good demand in leisure and business travel. So that's starting to come back. And of course, that's a high percentage of our total business at Hotel Northland. So things are coming back. Food and beverage has been good. And we're looking for that to continue to expand.
So with the Northland Hotel, right, we talk about the leisure travel, and I know Packer games, I mean, that's the most sought after hotel, and you have the Fox contract, right?
We do.
Yeah, because I've seen those people in there when I go there. I'm not a groupie. I don't like go there to see them. I go there to enjoy your hospitality. But tell me, so we've got the corporate, we've got the leisure travel, but the community is part of your business plan as well. And you're in here today kind of with some great chefs looking over the menu, upgrading. Tell us a little bit about what you're talking about.
Thank you. Yeah, so the community's the most important part of our business because, you know, members of the community are who drive business to us, whether it's corporate or leisure. So we always want to be a strong corporate citizen. And, of course, our food and beverage business cannot survive just on hotel guests. You know,
right.
We need to have a robust local dining market that comes and patronizes the restaurant. So, you know, we're here to look at our fall and winter menus now for Poke the Bear and Walnut Room.
Who comes in for that? Like, who do you bring in to review the menus?
So I have a corporate food and beverage team of four people. So I have a corporate executive chef who's here. I have a corporate director of food and beverage who's here to work on service training in the front of the house. And we're going to be doing what we call critical moments of service. So what are the 15 or 20 critical moments that a guest expects interaction? So the greeting, the arrival at the table, the delivery of the food. But with our chefs, we're going to be making several different presentations and recipes for every dish on the menu. We're going to be looking at those dishes for color and texture and flavor and presentation.
Wow.
Taking photographs of those dishes so that every cook and chef knows how to prepare them and present them in the same fashion. And then, of course, we're a business, so every recipe has to be costed out,
right?
For the cost of each ingredients, and then that's how we determine the prices. So,
well, as you can see by looking at me and John, we're not afraid of food. So,
when can we test it, please?
This afternoon.
We can trade it out too. I mean, if you want to advertise, we're there because we love food. So you've got two restaurants there, but I've been to a lot of events there. You do some charity events. You did that. What was it, Christy, you were talking about? Was it the pet parade?
The pup adoption.
Yeah. Which was very cool. You actually let like puppies in there, animals in there, and people went. You've had some great weddings. What I get a kick out of your hotel is that you did some awesome weddings 50 years ago, and now their grandkids are getting married there. And it's like, man, I can get married at the same place grandma and grandpa did. Like, you know, and that was always a high-end hotel when it opened, and you're back to that. It's that, and I think that's really cool that people are making that historical connection in 2023. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And as we get into 24, you're going to see more of that. It's the 100-year anniversary of the hotel next year.
Right.
So we're going to be celebrating that. You know, we reopened in February 14th, I think.
It was February 14th.
Of 2019. Yeah. And I think the actual opening date was March 20th or 23rd of 1924. Yeah, 1924.
How'd you like to open a hotel and then 5 years later, 1929? Yeah. You know what I mean? You've been through tougher times than COVID.
Well, we kind of did that. We had COVID. Yeah. Right. We were shut down.
I know.
Yeah. When I did a story on that when they were starting with construction, the rebirth of it, basically. We talked about putting in a bowling alley. Did that ever happen?
We do have two bowling alleys in the basement.
Okay.
It's a great space.
Okay.
Up to now, I'm glad you asked that question. Up to now, it's really been a space that we use for events. You can rent the space. There's shuffleboard. There's bowling alleys. There's a dartboard. There's a pool table. There's a full bar.
It's a whole game room.
Full bar.
Oh, wow.
And a bunch of TVs. And we do any catering that you want down there. It's been very popular. We would like to get that activated more, but I was telling Jim, still working on the plans, but we're looking at maybe creating an opportunity where we open that to the public several nights a week as an additional bar in the hotel.
I think that sounds awesome.
There's your pool table, boys.
I know, right? Is that where you donated it?
Yeah, that's where it went, to Hotel Northland.
But that place, I see my retirement party there, and it's going to have been a better place. It's got a lot of different venues, right? You've got the space downstairs, and then, of course, you got the Walnut Room, and you've got that whole Crystal Ballroom, which is awesome, and just beautiful suites that we stayed. It was just a great.
You should think about having another retirement party there.
The way this is going, it might be sooner than you think.
What's going on Tuesday?
You got an opening? We're there.
I got to tell you, though, what I write books on veterans, war veterans, and I had this one guy, he actually played for the Chicago Cardinals, but he had been a prisoner of war of the Japanese and everything, and from Chicago, and Max Tonelli was his name, but he was a running back for the Bears, or for Chicago Cardinals, and then got drafted, went to war, POW for all these years, but the owner of the team knew he only needed like two more games to like qualify for his pension, so he let him suit up and play his last two games. The guy went from like 190 pounds to like 130 pounds, okay? But he said he remembers every single aspect of that game more than any game. And it was in Green Bay, was his last game, okay? He said, I remember we dressed at the hotel because he didn't have locker rooms. He says, a place called the Northland Hotel, and we dressed in our rooms, in our uniforms, and took like a bus over to City Stadium. And he said, I'll never forget that. He says, that was my last moment
as a pro football player. He says, wow. So I remembered every aspect of it, but dressing in his hotel room. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that's neat.
We can talk about some history.
But I think, Johnny, that there's a lot of history to that. And we talk about, you know, suburbs and, you know, urban sprawl. But what Green Bay has is some history. Vince Lombardi signed his first contract in the Hotel Northland. President Kennedy, now he wasn't president yet, but he was there. Mm-hmm. You've had some great events there, and you've got a whole history. And you used to give tours. I don't know if you still do that. I'd love to give a tour of that place because I've been there for so many times. But it's worth celebrating that. Like his friend, he just talked about come back and you hate to go back to a place and see it run down. And what you've done there, you did more than you really needed to do. But I don't know.
Well, if they ever shot a movie about the 30s God. Or something, that lobby would be. Hollywood could not create a better set.
Right. It's amazing what your vision and $32 million can do.
You know, one of the cool parts, though, I remember when I first moved back here, that was like a landmark. This was the mid 80s. And that's when it was senior citizens or something.
It was a. Housing for it really wasn't. It was really low income. It was some government subsidy. Money for that and subsidy. Yeah. And which
God bless the people. I'm not trying to take in their way. But
the city did. I just want to say that was very. It's the word I'm looking for. That was to move those people was challenging.
Controversial.
So we built two facilities, and obviously with a whole lot of help. I mean, we just supported it, but two new facilities, which were actually better than the Northland, quite honestly, and. Then we could bring that back to where it is. But
I'm just saying it's like that was really disappointing because that was like one of the things I was really anxious to see coming back. Yeah. And it's like,
doesn't every great city though need a great hotel? Like this is the hotel, and there's a lot of hotels in Green Bay, and there's some good ones. But
it's like the Pfister in Milwaukee,
right?
Yeah. I think hotels are often the heart of the community. Right to your point, it's where people get married. Conventions, people come into town and then spend their money in restaurants and shops. Taxi cab drivers and Uber drivers and things like that. So it's the hub of hospitality and often the personality of the town.
And your hotel in Detroit's coming back, you said, the corporate business?
We have the Henry Hotel in Dearborn, Michigan, and it's been gangbusters for the last 12 months. So nice. Thankfully.
So we're looking for a job for John Minel. He thinks I'm going to retire, but I have the financial ability to retire. I don't know. Maybe he doesn't. He doesn't.
Squandered my money at the track.
if you paid your bets, you might.
Yeah. Thank you. That give hurts. Him a bell or something, Jason. Give him something on that. Give him the victory bell. Let's hear it, Jason. There we go. Thank you, Jason. That was very good. That was the line of the day.
He was listening. So wow. I appreciate that. Jobs. You employ a lot of people, but you're looking for some people now? Is that safe to say on the air?
Yeah. We have about 125 employees we call ambassadors.
Right.
Because they're ambassadors of hospitality. They're ambassadors of the city, really. We could hire probably, we're going to have a job fair next week on Wednesday and Thursday.
Okay, hold that thought because we've got to find this guy a job.
Yep, okay.
We're going to be right back.
You make it sound like I can't find a job.
We're talking to Bill Cole.
We'll be back right after this.
Owner of the Northland, WGBW 1590, 97.9.
Call your local Bug Tussle rep today to find out how you can get free internet service. You heard that right, free internet. Call today before this deal ends. For Shawano and Ocano counties, call Amanda at 920-600-4760. That's 920-600-4760. And for Brown, Manitowoc, and Kewaunee counties, call Scott at 920-530-1311. 920-530-1311.
Whether you own a local business or a global one, you're always looking for ways to position your operation to create opportunities and move on them faster. With Bank of America, you get access to experts, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter, locally and globally. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Copyright 2023 Bank of America N.A.
Test your home for radon. Radon causes lung cancer, and half the homes in Green Bay test high. Request a free tester at newradon.com. newradon.com. Get a free test kit now.
Hey, son, how are you feeling? I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Here's your updated forecast. Clear skies and quiet today with a high of 69. Winds out of the northeast, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Tonight, lows dip down to about 48. Bright sunshine tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 75. Turning warmer Friday and Saturday with highs from the low 80s to the upper 80s. Another look at the short range. Highs reach 69 today. We should dip down to around 48 tonight. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 48.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law. Lawman is putting an end to my running, and I'm so far from my home.
Oh, mama, I can hear you a-crying, you're so scared and all alone.
Wait, no, we gotta have the big hit. We gotta wait for the big hit.
I know,
we gotta wait for the hook. We can't jump the hook. Oh.
Even though you'd like to.
There we go. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here on a Wednesday morning. 97.9 FM, 1590 AM, WGBW, AKS in Oshkosh. On a beautiful Wednesday morning, heading into a Labor Day long weekend, which is so exciting. It's incredible, even though it's going to be like 97 degrees. But we're going to be cool. We have a very fun guest here.
He's awesome.
Reintroduce him, please.
All right. We are being joined today by Bill Cole. Bill Cole is one of the owners. There's three owners of the Northland Hotel here in Green Bay, which is a autograph collection, high-end hotel, 200 rooms, do a lot of events. He hails from Hershey, Pennsylvania, and the other two investors, one's from Connecticut and one's from Denver. Anyway, great guys that looked at our community and invested a significant amount of money and said, look, the heart of a community, which the downtown is, requires a high-end hotel, and we're going to be that high-end hotel in your markets. And they've done that. They've done it very successfully. He was talking about how hospitality is important, convention business is important, but the most important thing is the community's engagement with the property. And Hotel Northland, they're redoing, got some executive chefs in town, they're redoing their menus, and there's a lot of good things going on. But Bill, you yourself, I want to talk about you for just a second. You hail from Hershey, Pennsylvania. You're a huge Penn State guy.
I am.
I mean, it was tough to get you. Like, Bill, I want your $32 million. I don't care about Penn State. And he's like, oh, Jim, did you see the Penn State game? I'm like, But anyway, he loves Penn State. But I want to talk about tailgating, which we kind of know here in Green Bay. And you're also your background in being a chef. You were the recipient of the Silver Plate Award, which for those who don't know what that is akin to a Grammy in music. And you received that, what, 4 years ago?
2 years ago.
Oh, 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Oh, congrats. Right? And you were
2022, yeah.
Okay. You were Mr. Chef in the hospitality world.
I'm not a chef, but the Silver Plate Award is awarded to the Hotel Food Service Operator of the Year by the International Food Manufacturers Association. Okay. So it's a very private ballot, nominees from all over the country, and nobody knows who gets it until they actually announce it.
Awesome, and congrats again to that. That's a big deal for you. But you may not have the title of a chef, but you are. Tell us about your tailgating experiences.
So we have a great tailgate spot at Penn State. We have three reserved spaces that are all next to each other. They're, if you've ever been to Penn State, they're on a grassy part of the parking lot, and there's nothing behind me, between me and the stadium, except about 50 yards of grass. So we extend those 12 by 12 tents, three parking spots wide and about four deep, and we have between 75 and 150 people every week.
And the menu is?
Kobe beef hot dogs.
Okay.
Usually some type of sausage and whatever we put on that. Wagyu beef burgers. Always theme it to a team. So if it's Maryland, we'll do crab cakes and things like that. Obviously brats and things if Wisconsin comes back. And then we do under 8-to-the-pound shrimp grilled on site with an atomic cocktail sauce, which just means they have a lot of horseradish in it. And 40-ounce tomahawk ribeye steaks that we carve down.
40-ounce.
Yum. Grilled with the shrimp and
yeah.
I've seen, you showed me pictures of that. That's unbelievable. Yeah. And you were also recognized for that.
I was. Yeah. There was a book called The Greatest Fall of All,
which I read.
And Ed, who's the author, went to the number one college football game of the week, every week of the year. So that wasn't where game day went. It was the two highest ranked teams. So he never knew where he was going until Sunday. And he would write about the game experience, the tailgating experience, the concessions in the stadium, the local restaurants, the traditions on campus. And he happened by my tailgate. And he wrote a blog every week, and then he wrote a book at the end of the year. And I was lucky enough to be acknowledged.
What advice that I'm going to do when I retire in the fall? I'm going to travel around. I'm going to spend one football season going to college football game to college football game to college football game all over the country. That's my dream.
You got to stop at Bill's tailgate
party. I was telling Jim how much more I enjoy college football games than pro football games because of what you're talking about. Because, you know, Green Bay, we think everybody tailgates the way we do. Not in the NFL. There's a rougher type of element in a lot of those places versus the college tailgating.
Yeah. Well, you know, the stadiums are not as conducive as on-campus stadiums. So you're in parking lots, and your parking lots are disjointed. And, and you know, whether you're in Madison or State College or Ann Arbor, there's a much more contiguous area to tailgate, and people are walking up and down. And
I don't think there's anything better, no sporting event better than a beautiful fall day and going up to a college football game in the afternoon.
We agree.
Yes.
On your Northland Hotel, we've got a few minutes left here. You've got a job fair coming up. Tell us about that, what your goals are for the community. I mean, we just love you here. And I know it's been tough in the hospitality industry. I'm on the board of a hotel and a resort, and it was tough. I mean, it just was. We didn't close. Maybe we should have. But we just stayed open through this with six people.
Yeah, right.
And you're not making any money when six people show up. But anyway, tell us about what we can look forward to in Greater Green Bay.
Of course, we did the same thing here and across the country at some of our other hotels. But you know, now business is back, so we have to ramp up the employment base. We call our employees ambassadors because they're ambassadors of the hotel, they're ambassadors of hospitality, ambassadors of the community. Because a lot of times people traveling into Green Bay will remember that special touch they get from an ambassador at the hotel. We have about 125 ambassadors on staff now. We probably need about 20 to 25 additional ambassadors. We have a job fair next Wednesday at the Hotel Northland. Wednesday and Thursday of next week, we're looking for 20 to 25 people, bartenders, servers, housekeepers, front desk agents.
Bill, what about a bellman? I would be a great bellman. I know where the bodies are buried. I can get
you'd look good in one of those little hats.
I would like the hat. I'd like the hat. I just want to say about the Northland, you have great uniforms too.
Thank you.
You do. I know you spend a lot of money on
them. I've got the hat, and you can start at $3 if you're available.
$3?
No, Chris, I'll $3 this afternoon.
What would you think of Jim in uniform?
I like a man in uniform.
I can't even picture it.
And with the hat.
All right, so what's the job? Tell me what the job is.
How you doing?
I would
check
take
out my hat.
But I could relate to the customers because I one of the well many people, but I've been to every state, so when they say where they're
I could
relate something. John. So bartenders, and how about housekeeping, right?
Is that on the list? Housekeeping, bartenders, servers, front desk agents. Next Wednesday and Thursday, the 6th and 7th, 11 in the morning till about 7 at night.
All right, we just stop.
Hotel Northland, stop in.
All right,
we'll be in the ballroom. You can fill
I gotta assume that's a pretty good tipping place.
Tips are very good.
I would imagine. Did you say Russell Wilson stayed there the one time you were there for
his agent and his family stay at the playoff game because the team was across the street, but
he kind of does his own thing.
Right, they got the highest.
He's special.
Yeah, everybody at the Northland is special.
Okay, we got 30 seconds. Clifford for the Packers, Penn State quarterback.
Penn State quarterback Sean Clifford, great leader, solid citizen, really competent quarterback in the game. He'll
like
do well for you.
This has been really fun.
Thanks for coming in, Bill.
Thanks so much. This is awesome. Love to get you back on again sometime.
Hotel Northland. Bill
All right.
Paul.
All right. We're out of time already. This has been fun. Lots going on tomorrow.
And Friday.
Friday. Matt Doug and Merrill, Mind of the Mayor, back tomorrow morning. See ya.
I'm coming.
Hi, Mark Tauscher. Ah, Tausch, you have mosquitoes in here.
It's like an insect zoo right now at my house. Here comes that wasp again. Incoming.
Shoo, you need Pella's 250 series of windows with exclusive hidden screens protecting you from nature.
Yes, please. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin to the rescue.
Get a 250 series patio door and 8 double hung windows with hidden screens as low as $188 per month. PellaWI.com. Certain restrictions apply. See showroom for details. Offer ends 8/31/23.
Bandana? Check. Boots? Check. Gloves? Check. As a motorcycle rider in Wisconsin, you may go to great lengths to protect your image. Just be sure you're protecting yourself, too. Wear a Department of Transportation-approved helmet. Perform safety checks on your motorcycle. Know the traffic laws and don't take risks. Motorists and motorcyclists can work together to achieve zero preventable deaths on Wisconsin roads. Zero in Wisconsin. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov.
Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.